Good day, everyone. This is Martha Childress, and welcome to the Natural Choice Network, a local platform and meeting place where sustainable living comes live. NaturalChoice.net and the Natural Choice Network directories have many great ways for a conscious community to connect, stay up to date on green resources, natural health, natural food, and mind spirit. And you can also stay connected right here with me every Tuesday at 12:30 on Alternative Talk 1150. Well, crystals and gemstones have been revered since recorded history and for both their natural aesthetics and perceived energetic qualities. And walk through any rock, gem, or crystal store, and you can certainly understand why. The naturally formed beauty is mind-boggling to me still to this day. And the more I see it, it's even more jaw-dropping. So while the first things on our minds while choosing a crystal or a gemstone is how it looks or feels or costs, but how often do we really consider the path they take getting to market? And I know I like to know where my food comes from and how it's grown and where and how my clothing and other consumer products are made and by who. So I wanted to learn more about the supply chain for gems and crystals, especially if they're being used for any type of energetic or healing properties. So to help walk us through the various supply chains and conditions we should be aware of, and to make sure we make the most informed choices, is Eric Braunwart. So welcome to the show, Eric.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity here.
Yeah, well, it was something, you know, when we first started talking, you know, before the show, it is, you know, it's one of those supply chains that's almost as vast as the type of gemstones out there, you know, depending on how things are mined and where, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it definitely is. I've worked in almost every country around the world for the last 42 years. And every country, not every, but nearly every country has something to offer that's unique and different. And it's actually part of the lore and the beauty of the gemstone.
Yeah, and even how they're collected. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your background a little bit more and why knowing the source and the path from mine to market is so important to you too?
Sure. I actually went to school in landscape architecture and then jewelry design and fine arts, so I got a variety of different degrees, but pretty quickly went into gemstones because that's really what I fell in love with, was colored stones.
Yeah, yeah.
And we started this company 42 years ago, and we always wanted to know about where the stones were from and, you know,
yeah,
sort of the journey, just
yeah,
because that was interesting to me. I like to travel.
Yeah.
But about 18 years ago, I did a project for the World Bank in Madagascar, and the title was Gemstones is a Method for Poverty Alleviation, and that's what I was supposed to be looking at for the World Bank while I was there. So you had a very different perspective.
Yeah.
You needed to look at it and say, okay, this is a very poor country. If gemstones are going to help uplift this country, how would you do it? So you really have a different perspective. And so that really brought the importance in of telling the story of the people, the places, and the products, the gemstones. But you also learned, just in looking at that whole supply chain and mining and the whole range, that there were some things that maybe weren't exactly part of the story you wanted to tell.
Yeah.
So,
like blood diamonds, right?
Yeah. So you had two choices. You could either ignore them, or you could say, I think those are important. How do we engage with them? And so when I came back to the States from MATA, that's really what we did. That's when we set up our protocols for fair trade and responsible sourcing.
Yeah.
So at that point, we started not just knowing some about where they were from, but looking at all the stages and documenting and being able to trace that.
Yeah, well, and seeing if you could be part of maybe helping improve some of the conditions and, you know, kind of guiding, you know, some of the, especially smaller mines that you might have relationships. Is there the ability to do that as well?
Absolutely, and I think that's really incumbent on anybody working in this sphere, is you are going to see problems and issues that, you know, maybe are not what you want.
Yeah.
So instead of just ignoring them, it's really becomes your responsibility to help try and address them.
Yeah. Well, that's a really nice angle, and good for you to do that. Well, we'll be right back to learn more from Eric and the best things to ask and understand before purchasing any types of gemstones or crystals. So please stay tuned.
During turbulent times or life transition, it is comforting to have guidance. Get in touch with your angels and guides. Liz MacDonald at Channeled Angel Readings is a spiritual channel. She can offer thorough, concise, and specific information to help you gain inner knowledge and self-awareness. Understand, reveal, and unblock your past issues, fears, and blockages. Call Liz at 206-367-5683 today to get your reading, or go to naturalchoice.net. Keyword search, Angel Readings.
Anxiety, depression, chronic pain. You can overcome these obstacles. Dr. Schaub at Cellular Wisdom can help you reach your full potential. Dr. Schaub recognizes that the connection between mind, body, and spirit, and in particular the subconscious mind, holds the keys to accelerated learning. He uses therapies such as neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, timeline therapy, and pattern resolution process to find practical solutions for you. Believe in yourself. Call 206-323-2762 or go to naturalchoice.net. Keyword search, Cellular Wisdom.
Nancy Allen can help you break free and thrive. Using hypnotherapy and other techniques, Nancy can help you break free of habits and obstacles, create positive changes, and discover your passion and purpose. She also provides hypnobirthing and birth-related services, helping expecting families experience birth with calmness and confidence. If you are looking to navigate career or life changes, manage stress, stop smoking, or experience birth with joy, give Nancy a call at 425-827-9498 or go to naturalchoice.net, keyword search A-L-L-I-N.
What is the easiest way to say you care? Care about our planet, our health, our community, and our future. Support sustainability by supporting our business partners. Let them know that you appreciate their commitment to building a healthy place, both physically and emotionally, for generations to come. Say you found them on the Natural Choice Directory or heard them on the Natural Choice Network radio program.
Ready to shake things up? Try Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Darcy Pariso. I'm an animal intuitive, and you are listening to Natural Choice Network on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. I'm here with Eric Braunwart, president of Columbia Gem House, and we're talking about the origins of many popular gemstones and the importance of being aware of the process and particular conditions they may be subject to before they come to market. Well, Eric, can you talk about some of the most important kind of conditions or examples of what we should be most aware of from mine to market?
Sure. I think, you know, gemstones are a very emotional product and emotional purchase. And
they're
to show love and a whole variety of different emotions. So you really want to know that those gemstones came to you with sort of that same positive energy.
Absolutely.
Instead of, you know, some things that you aren't so good. So the first thing that's necessary, and in our industry, very unique, and that is a transparent supply chain. If you don't have that, you have no idea. You may have an idea where they came from. You may have some idea how they were cut or put into jewelry. But some idea is not good enough in this case. So the first thing is transparent supply chain. You know, do they have it? Can they show you that? And then the next one that I look at is it in a conflict area?
Mm-hmm.
If it is, it doesn't necessarily mean it's supporting that conflict, but you have to look at it more closely,
you know,
because you don't want to be doing that. Mining conditions, sometimes that's very hard to assess because most colored stones are what we call artisanal mined. They're small, very small mining operations, and oftentimes it's a few farmers that are doing it while their crops are growing, and they're trying to find some other way to make a little bit of income.
Yeah.
So we work very hard to work back to the source to better understand those mining conditions, be able to tell people about them. And we've done a pretty good job. It's definitely a work in process, but it's good to ask people about that.
Yeah. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, we'll give you a negative example and a positive example. Negative might be one of the mining areas in Tanzania, and this has been addressed recently. recently, or fairly, you know, a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
where the tunnels that go straight down might go down for, boy, you know, like 400 meters.
Mm.
And they're hand dug, so you're digging a small hole because it's less dirt to move. So what best goes down in small holes? Small people. And small people are usually young people.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing, the industry, when it became more apparent, looked at it and said, we don't want to support that. How do we help change it? And that's very important. A positive one would be one of the projects we worked on in Madagascar, or in, Malawi, where we saw there was no school in the area, so we worked with a church group and helped build the initial school block, and then later three more school blocks. But also teachers' housing and a medical dispensary so that they could get AIDS drugs into the area and things like that. So what addition can you do than other than just mining and employing people, which is important, but are there other things that you can do to be part of the community? And
yeah.
I think that's the positive end.
Well, yeah, and done responsibly and putting a lens on that, you know, is really a beautiful thing to do, as I say, if you can find ways to help the communities. And a lot of times, you know, the less impoverished they are, you know, the more they can develop and the more
exactly.
services.
Exactly, and, you know, we see that all around the world, you know, where if you're really destitute, it's very hard to, you know, improve your overall conditions. And when the whole community is that way, it's even more difficult.
Well, yes.
So, that's where you really need to look at the poverty issue also and how what you do positively impact that.
Well, and I think that gets into the value too. Not only, you know, just the, you know, what you're getting for your money and what are some kind of indicators, because sometimes if it's too cheap, you know, it's really inexpensive. That could be a red herring.
yes. And it's gotten more wild since the advent of the internet.
Yeah.
Basically, there is nobody out there that has a $10,000 ruby for $150. Although you will see that claimed quite often. And if that's the case, what it is scraps of ruby that's been swept off the cutting room floor, and they're in effect glued back together with like glass. That is an issue on the market today. So the transparent supply chains, yes, it helps social elements, but it also helps product integrity.
Yeah.
Because you can watch and make sure you avoid those getting into your supply chain.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of product integrity, there's so many processes that are out there right now. I mean, I'll look at something and they'll go, well, they've heated it to get this color or to enhance it in this way or that. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, if they're transparent about it, you know, it's kind of considered more acceptable. But that also shows, well, what can be done that you don't know about? And how often is that being done? Can you address that a little bit?
It's a pretty big issue out there.
Yeah.
There is a certain group in the United States, the American Gem Trade Association, that has gone out of their way to really push their members to be very transparent on and disclose any treatments, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's been a big help, but there's a lot on the market still. And so you really need to do your research, know what the possible problems might be, so you can, I hate to say it, but ask some educated questions when you go in and talk to people. Because heat is a common thing. It was done when Marco Polo went to where he went, you know, the Silk Road to India and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been around for a long, long time. But it's been really sophisticated. Heat with borax, which turns the glass, which fills fractures. Heat with beryllium, which changes the crystal structure and absorbs beryllium and changes the color of the stone. There's all sorts of things that really, if you know about them, then if they're telling you about them, they're generally priced accordingly, and that's okay.
Yeah, because it could be kind of creative and quite, you know, they come up with some really beautiful effects, but you need to know.
Yeah, you definitely need to know, because value then starts coming into play.
Exactly.
Any of those things I described are significantly less expensive than just a heated stone, which is significantly less expensive than a completely untreated stone.
Yeah, but in some senses, though, too, is it more sustainable? I mean, are some of the reserves or some of these stones and some of these naturally occurring formations, if there can be, if it's just for appearance and they don't have to go, you know, as I say, be mined necessarily. I mean, it just seems like there's it encompasses a big, big story, but there could be some sustainability, you know, positive influences for that too.
There is. Sustainability and availability.
Yeah.
If you have this huge number of people that want a gemstone and they're only being offered the very best, most expensive, and let's say they can all afford it, you got to move a lot of dirt to get the very best. That might be 1% of production.
Yeah.
So you're right. It gives you, you have to move less dirt to be able to, you know, offer a variety of the gemstones, and maybe not all the top quality. But
yeah.
So it is positive.
Well, because there are some, I'd like to know your thoughts, because there's some, you know, actually I heard there are even like for production of computers and things like that, they're actually growing some of these more precious gems, that's kind of the case.
Yes, they are. And that's all the way from pretty much any colored stone all the way through diamond.
Yeah,
because
I've heard diamonds and amethyst.
Yeah, diamonds, amethyst, citrine, you know, not tourmaline. It's really complicated chemical structure.
Yeah.
But almost everything else, they are growing some synthetic variety.
Yeah.
And you've got two issues. I'm not against synthetics as long as they're disclosed.
Yeah, if they're going into a computer.
Yeah. But I do have some concerns.
Yeah.
And people think, well, if it's made synthetically, it doesn't have this impact on the earth. You know, all of the elements that go into making a synthetic diamond are mined.
Yeah.
You have to mine them from the earth.
Yeah, so, that's what I wanted your thoughts on that, yeah.
Yeah, and then it takes an immense amount of energy. So you burn an immense amount of oil to generate the pressure and heat to turn it into a diamond.
Wow.
So no one's done a study between the two. I really don't know. But one is not a zero environmental sum win, you know, synthetics. The other thing to me, though, that is probably even more important, and that is, I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm going to do a wild guess here. Actually, it's not wild, it's educated. There's 15 million people worldwide involved in artisanal mining. That's a World Bank and a UN number. What do those people do if we now unemploy them all because we don't buy natural gemstones?
Exactly.
I think I prefer to say we need to engage with them to find a way to improve the environment and their situation and their living conditions. And you know, do this through the purchase of natural gemstones.
Yeah, as I say, and done well. So that kind of segues into the whole, you know, fair trade aspect and, you know, how supporting that and supporting, as I say, you can wind up supporting villages, you know, by bringing some of their kind of, you know, their regional gems to a larger market. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it is, in some countries, very important.
Yeah.
So by engaging with these gemstones, you're actually engaging with the people. And as long as you have the supply chain so that you're confident when the stones are being cut, the workers aren't dying from silicosis or something like that.
Yeah.
If you have that transparent supply chain, you know those stories, and you support the ones with the positive stories. And that is a way that you're taking the sort of better conditions all the way down the supply chain, not just the people that you come face-to-face with, but everyone involved.
Well, and anybody that's using these stones, you know, not only for their beauty, but for any type of energetic or healing qualities, You definitely want something that's, you know, had some good juju along the way, which only happens in good conditions, right?
Absolutely. And that's really one of my concerns with some of those. There are some issues that need to be addressed in the supply chains, and some of us have addressed them, some of us are working on them, but by and large, they're still there. And I just don't see, if you're buying these for a healing or, you know, love sort of emotion, I really think you need to know, did that come with the gemstone or not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we have about a minute before the break, and I want you to talk a little bit about some of the gemstones just found right here in America, too.
Yes, there actually are quite a few gemstones found in America, and some
sapphires.
Really
aren't there sapphires? Sapphires? Yeah,
from three different locations in Montana.
Yeah,
and a lot of garnet from Idaho, northern Idaho, and you have peridot from the Apache Indian Reservation in Arizona. And a very unusual garnet that's a bright, bright red that comes from the Navajo Reservation on Four Corners area.
Oh, yeah. And those are all really good groups to support, especially these days as well. Well, we'll be right back with some closing thoughts from Eric as soon as we return. So please stay tuned.
Sunco is about the living arts of life, where we embrace new strategies and ways of being within our world through studies of shamanic traditions. Allison Lancel is the founder of Sonko. Curious about shamanism? Enroll in one of Allison's classes. She's also available for private consultations and healing services and conducting shamanic ceremonies. To find out more about shamanism, call 425-334-9403 or go to naturalchoice.net, keyword search Sonko. That's S-O-N-Q-O.
Do you want to feel free and at peace from past hurt and trauma? Do you want to feel happy and satisfied with your relationships? Let Optimal Life Wellness Center help you gain more energy, motivation, and happiness in your life. Be inspired and empowered. Actualize your most authentic self. Call Optimal Life Wellness Center at 425-646-2778 or go to naturalchoice.net, keyword search Optimal Life.
Catherine Larson at InnerSource Counseling has over 30 years' experience providing mental health care. She believes that therapy is a personal journey. Her mission is to offer guidance to those who are dedicated to their personal healing. Sessions are conducted in an atmosphere of warmth, openness, and respect. Catherine works with children, adults, and couples to help them find the most effective path for healing. Start your healing today. Call 206-933-1710. Or go to naturalchoice.net, keyword search, Inner Source Counseling.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Hi, this is Brittany from AIM Clinic, and you're listening to the Natural Choice Network on Alternative Talk 1150.
So, Eric, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
I think the main thing that I'd like to convey is that gems really are obviously beautiful things, but there are some real beautiful stories that come with those gemstones.
Yeah.
And some beautiful places that they represent, and some, you know, beautiful environments that they oftentimes help support. And so if you ask for those stories and get those stories from the person you're working with to buy gemstones, to me, that's really important. If you do that, you have all the power in the world as a consumer. You are the one that can set that tone and that direction by just asking that question.
Well,
and if you do that, the industry will have to follow.
Well, and, you know, everything seems to be better and more meaningful when there's a story behind it. And especially, as I say, when you're, you know, often gemstones are used for, like you say, for love or, you know, in relationships. I mean, the story only enhances that.
Absolutely. And there really are some really great stories to go with great gemstones. And together it makes a much more emotionally rewarding purchase. And
energetically positive.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what's your website? How can people find you for more information?
Well, they can get more information from two websites. One's fairtradegems.com, and that's just about our commitment to responsible sourcing. And then one of our other websites would be columbiagemhouse.com.
Okay. And a radio archive of today's show will also be posted on naturalchoice.net, Puget Sound's one-stop place to find all the resources and information you need to find the best choices for your family, your community, and yourself, and his information will be on that as well. So thank you so much for joining me today, Eric. This really is fascinating.
Well, that's great. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, and thanks to all of our listeners for choosing to join in too. As you know, our choices create our experiences, and collectively our experiences create our community. So online, on print, and on air, thank you for making the natural choice.